I'm Farai Chidea in for Adora Udoji, and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer has been around longer than Washington itself has been a state. It printed its last issue last week, and let's emphasize printed. This week, the people of Seattle will find out if the paper will survive in online-only form, and the Hearst Corporation is pondering whether to do that. Folks call it the PI locally. It's the latest casualty in a newspaper bloodbath with no end in sight. Jacqueline Banaschinski holds the night chair in editing at the Missouri School of Journalism. She worked at the Seattle Times, the rival to the PI, for 8 years, and worked at two papers in Minneapolis-St. Paul that are both on a short list of papers in trouble. Jacqueline, it's great to have you with us. And let's start with a little bit about public opinion. The Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, a great research center, just did a survey, and 42% of people said they wouldn't miss their local paper if it closed. First of all, do you believe them when they say that?
Well, good morning, Farai. It's nice to be here. You can look at those numbers another way, in other ways, and there was a big debate here at Missouri among my research colleagues about the interpretation of those numbers. And they said one way to read them is that 74% of people said that they would miss aspects of their newspaper, maybe not the print newspaper itself, but certainly the journalism it provides.
So that still leaves a sizable number, and one might argue a tipping point of non-paying, non-subscribing, non-newsstand-buying folks. What's bad about a newspaper closing? Is it really bad?
Well, you know, the debate has gotten focused around saving the newspaper. I think the debate needs to be about saving journalism. And saving journalism that is represented by the traditional mainstream newspaper. You know, in your own program previously, they talked about, one of the callers talked about getting news from the newspaper that gets passed on to online and through the blogosphere and all these other ways. What's at risk is more than newspapers and newspaper jobs. What's at risk is the foundations of traditional journalism, which are the foundations of how we keep our democracy going.
So you have groups now that are nonprofits that are trying to take some of this territory. Mm-hmm. We sometimes partner with ProPublica, which is an investigative reporting group. There are a lot of other nonprofits that, you know, when enterprise reporting is something we talk about in the business, which is where you actually have to do a lot of work and not just talk out of your rusty dusty. So, you know, it's pretty easy to reprint things that just sort of pop into your mind. But when you have to hit the streets or you have to hit the files and, you know, dig through information, it takes a lot of time and it's expensive. So are nonprofit groups going to replace or at least supplement what news organizations aren't really willing to pay for at this point?
Well, there's the big question, right? And everybody is scrambling to answer that question now. What's the new business model? There is no reigning wisdom. And the closest anybody's coming right now is to say that there are going to have to be multiple business models, little experiments here and there, while we figure out what in this revolution, and this is a revolution, how we figure out what is the financial underpinning of something that I think we need as much as we need any other economic force in society. I think newspapers, journalism, let's say journalism, not newspapers, are as important or more important to what we do than anything else we're debating right now in this economy. So will nonprofits be part of the solution? I expect so. Will they be a stopgap to something more solid and universal in the future? I don't know. If I did, I wouldn't have to worry about my own job, right?
Well, let's talk about this issue of community, which I think is independent of journalism and business models. Mm-hmm. And I want to take you back, Jackie, to the days you were wandering around Eugene, Oregon, with me at the beginning of our careers, or at least my career. There was a quality of localism in the reporting of a paper like the Eugene Register Guard, where everybody turned to the Guard for its opinion, for its sense of the local politics, for what was going on in the economy, for where to get a good meal, for, you know, the lowest price of gasoline. It seems like newspapers have a very difficult time recreating that sense of localism when there are so many competitors online for search and advertising and you know, sort of columns and blogs that give that localism. How do you recreate that? It's almost independent of journalism.
Well, it is, John, independent of journalism in the traditional ways we supply journalism. You know, what people paid for primarily was delivery, and now they can get delivery by flipping on their computer switch. The other thing that's happened is localism, I think, has to be redefined. And the internet is part of that, too. Community is no longer defined primarily or exclusively geographically. Community is defined by interests, by passions. What is local anymore? Local to me is what's going on with the economy, and that's happening in Washington, D.C., and that's happening on Wall Street. So I don't think we can try to solve this. I don't think the answers come by asking the same questions. I think the questions have to change.
I'm sure that this sentiment will be familiar to you. This is a blogger for the PI.
I write a would be on life blog for the PI. I'm what's called a citizen journalist, and hopefully our voices will still be there. But it's just not going to be the same to not have that morning latte with the morning PI every day of the week. So farewell to the Seattle PI.
Jackie, just give us a quick blip on what citizen journalists can and can't do in a potentially newspaperless world.
Volunteer journalists can do a lot, and they always have been when we've been at our best as professional journalists, a big part of our equation. When I was a young reporter in Duluth, Minnesota, part of my job was to call 50 people in the tri-state region, housewives and cafe owners and school principals, who would read the church bulletins to me and read to me what was on their school reports and read their little local weeklies. And that's how I would gather up string for my news. That function is more important and more possible than ever.
Right.
But you can't replace the person who goes and sits at the sewer commission meeting for 4 hours or who watchdogs a story that's going to take months and thousands of dollars. You can't ask people to do that for free.